You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Masturbation isn't anything to be ashamed of, and there are many benefits to exploring your body, whether on your own or with a partner. And sex toys can elevate your solo and shared experiences, giving you sensations that your hands just cannot achieve, which is why I'm so excited to have Love Honey sponsoring my podcast. Love Honey is the biggest sex toy store on the planet and the home for all things pleasure. At Love Honey, you can explore sex toys with expert guides and advice, especially if you're a beginner or you are looking to level up. If you've never tried a clitoral stimulator, you are missing out. Luckily for you, Love Honey offers a brand called Womanizer that has revolutionized sex toys. The Womanizer Premium 2 uses patented pleasure air technology, making it an amazingly powerful pleasure product that can stimulate the nerve endings of the clitoris with gentle airwaves for mind-blowing orgasms. I have to tell you guys, I've been under a lot of stress lately, so of course I had to try this out myself, and let me tell you something, I'm sleeping better at night now. That's all I'm gonna say. And if you are a guy, maybe you want to gift this to the special lady in your life. It can help spice up things in the bedroom and enhance her pleasure, which of course will make you happy, guys, now won't it? So go to Love Honey and see all they have to offer, because they are also offering our listeners 20% off of your order when you enter code HOLLY20 at checkout, or if you use our link in the episode description. That's lovehoney.com, LOVEHONEY, and use promo code HOLLY20 to get 20% off of these delicious toys. lovehoney.com, HOLLY20. The link is also in our episode description. Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Holly Randall Unfiltered. My guest today is a top U.S. escort who you may have seen on a YouTube interview that went viral. That's on Soft White Underbelly. And her vivacious personality and storytelling captivated over 5.6 million people so far. Let's welcome Frenchie.
Hi. Bonjour.
Hi, bonjour. How are you?
I am good. I made it.
Yeah.
On time.
I know, on time. And I just also, I feel like the audience should know, the air conditioning broke in here yesterday, and it is the summer in California, so it's fucking hot as balls in here. So if you see us start to get like sweaty, it's not because like we're on drugs or we're nervous. We're just, it's literally like so fucking hot in here. So just like, please.
It's a sauna.
It's literally a sauna. And if YouTube wouldn't ban me, I feel like we would just all take our clothes off.
I'm sadly, getting there.
I know.
One inch at a time.
So how are you?
I am good. Could have been a better day. Could have been a worse one, but I made it. So,
whew. You said you had a crazy like last 48 hours, right?
Intense.
Do you wanna tell us a story?
Yeah, because I think it's actually worth it.
Okay.
It's so crazy. It's one more story to my 1001 story. You know, 1002. So, I tour as an escort. We tour. We love to actually grow our network. New energy, you're a big fish in a small bowl. It's awesome when you tour. So I always have my little destination. You know, I kind of collect. But randomly this time, my tour went kind of south. Mm-hmm. But when I'm talking south, I mean like southeast, you know? So on my way, I made a stop. I see my client and I'm smoking my little joint. It must have been 5:30 in the morning. And I'm almost done. There is this little kid. I mean, we're talking about like a hot mess, this kid. Homeless. Mm-hmm. Tweaking, completely tweaking.
When you say kid, like how old are you talking?
27. I'm going to call him a kid, but okay. 27. Right. He's a very charming human, by the way. But in the very moment where I saw him, I had two solutions, really. Am I going to help him or I'm going to just go to bed? Mm-hmm. And he was dehydrated. Where I was is really hot town. He felt like his skin was completely cooked. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do, Frenchie? Okay, give him water. And then I talked to him. And 3 hours later, I mean, bath, soup, food, everything. It's time to go to bed. I mean, like at this point, you know, I give him everything I could. Mm-hmm. I let him in my room. I told him, you're going to be cool, right? Everything's cool. Okay. But I let him go. You know, I went to bed like a selfish bitch because... I left for my tour. Everything is great. And on my way back, I'm making a pit stop again to that exact same town. And it was in my head. Is he okay? Like, what is going to happen to this kid? Mm-hmm. I even look around the hotel and I found him again, but burnt. I told myself I'm freaking right. But he was burnt everywhere. Like
sunburned.
Everywhere. No more like... I don't know. He cannot explain me. He doesn't know. It's like an exhaust, like a car.
Oh, like third degree burns.
Oh my God, I'm a big time to the flesh. And so I'm like, okay, fuck. You left him one time. The universe is bringing you this poor soul again. So what are you going to do? So I'm like, okay, get in the car. You know, I brought him to my hotel. I get kicked out of the fucking hotel. They kicked me out. You should see the drama. It was so bad. I had security 3 times harassing me because... He looks so rough. He has tattoo all over his face. He looks so rough that suddenly they see me, they know me in this hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on with her? Wait. And I was playing music and they came to the room and we got kicked out. Mm-hmm. Never in my entire existence I get kicked out. So now I have this kid. The plan was, okay, let's get him care at the ER. And I'm going to go. I'm going to, you know, carry on with my life. But they didn't help him at the ER.
They wouldn't take him at the ER?
No, nobody. Two different hospitals. So I made an SOS on my Instagram for medicine and antibiotics. They told him to put Neosporin, those motherfuckers. Are you serious? This is emergency room, you know. You need to put him on a wheelchair. He was limping. Who does that? So I had to take care of him. So now he's in my car.
He's in your car right now?
I took him with me. I could not leave him. He was going to die. It was like if the hospital is not going to do their job, who's going to do their job?
Wow.
Wow. So I used to rescue like frogs and cats and now I'm in birds. And I'm rescuing a full grown human, but he's a good person. This is what's happening right now. That's why I'm like, I had to come to this interview. You know, I told you I don't even have my dress. Like everything I was supposed to do went completely south. I had to cancel all my appointments in that town. And I love that town. It's old money, easy money. It's great money. I had to cancel on $6,000, literally. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even do it. It was impossible. At this point, like my whole focus was on rescuing this human that nobody fucking want to even look at, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is indicative of like the homeless issue that we have here in LA. And it's actually, you know, Frenchie, it's kind of crazy that you're telling me this story right now because last night, my mom's very similar to you where she always wants to rescue people. And last night we were having dinner and she was telling me about this homeless man in Calabasas that she sees a lot and she like brings him food and water. And she was talking to him. And so often, you know, we don't see these people and we just walk past them. We don't get their story. And she was talking to him and he was saying how, like, he can't get on his feet because he has no IDs. He's lost everything. So, like, where does he go from there? You know? And she was asking, she's like, how does this guy get out of homelessness if he has no resources, if he has no IDs? You know, he can't go, he tried to go to the social, he said that he tried to go to the DMV, but like, he has no IDs to get his ID. It's just, and I was, you know, and she said that he was a veteran. And so my husband suggested that she take him to the VA hospital, where I think they have a program that can supposedly help him, but I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of these programs are very much underfunded, and it's incredibly difficult to get these people out of these situations because so many of them are struggling with drug abuse and mental health issues. And, you know, everybody just, you know, and look, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I've walked past homeless people and not stopped to ask them their, you know, like, we just don't want to see it.
If you're tweaking too much, if you actually, if I feel like you're going to be a danger, mm-hmm. for me, I'm going to give money, but I'm not going to really keep going because I tried and I, like, I almost got in a weird situation with homeless. So, but him in particular, I don't know why. Like,
yeah.
It was something about his aura or it was unexplainable. I don't know. Usually, like, I would be, you know, on edge to bring a homeless person with tattoos all over. I mean, he looks almost borderline dangerous. He's not dangerous at all.
Right.
What's dangerous is not to have them. If,
right.
If you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's this crazy epidemic in this country. And I don't honestly know like what the answers are. I just know that, you know, we have to do something about it.
Every person, at least one, take one, like this, not under their wings completely to your home, but at least, you know, a beanie, gloves, something against the environment. The environment was eating him alive. He was getting cooked by the sun, like cooked. His skin is falling off. Like you would eat a chicken wing and his skin like that. Like,
So what are you going to do?
As so far, it's been almost 3 days at this point.
Okay. So he's just been staying with you?
He's not doing mess at all. He doesn't have any money. So okay. I know like he's away from it.
Okay.
I'm so bringing him to my house. There is no drugs in my house.
Is he detoxing right now?
Oh, big time. And I think at this point, I'm his drug. Like I'm his like...
Yeah.
You know, I'm his trip, you know, for sure. I'm going to keep going like this until I told him you relapse, you do anything that is making me feel uncomfortable. You're going to have to go, you know? So we pinky swear on that one. We talked a lot. I feel him. I have intuition. I deal with actual very dangerous men. I had situations that were very dangerous with clients. Mm-hmm. So I know what is a weirdo. I deal with weirdos. Mm-hmm. I know who is dangerous. I deal with dangerous. Mm-hmm. He's not at all dangerous. I say that if he would be a client, he'd be like a very, very sweet, kind client, the lover client. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that doesn't push your boundary. He opened my door. Mm-hmm. And he sings to me. And my ex-boyfriend would not do that.
Yeah.
And here you have this little homeless kid, nobody talks to him, and he's limping and opening my door. I'm like, you don't have to do that, Colin.
Yeah.
You know, he's like an actual gentleman that people spit on.
Right. Yeah.
So that was my last almost 3 days.
Wow.
I'm a mess. I didn't sleep. It was a lot.
So, I mean,
Now, let's talk about sex now. I think I needed my little cry, like, because it was such, like, an emotional bomb. Mm-hmm. I took a lot on me, witnessing the hospital denying him. And it is a problem in America.
Mm-hmm.
In France, they would have put him in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
At least that, yeah.
We'll talk about it after this podcast, but I do have somebody who's worked in homeless outreach. I can try to get in touch with him and see.
The thing is that I just don't want him to feel stuck in the program. Like, I don't want him to feel stuck or caged or anything. Or, you know what I mean? So far, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I got this.
So you say you don't feel like he has to, you don't want to like parse him off to like a program or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Not until it's necessary.
Right. I mean, I guess we'll just see how
he
does.
My house is full of love. I told him it's my magic house, it's my sanctuary. You can even pick where you want to sleep. You have three different options, you know.
There's not a lot of people out there like you.
I got helped so many times. It's thanks to all the people that spoiled me that I am you know, confident in where I'm at and comfortable financially. So it's only fair to give back what I'm going to do. Bring my money with me in my thumb.
Yeah, no, it's
you
true.
Give back, you know, because it's monopoly. You lose some, you gain some. Mm-hmm. It's the purpose of life. You're not going to keep it tight like that for a while.
Yeah. Wow. You know? That's amazing.
Yeah. So I didn't have sex in 3 days.
Yeah. Clearly not. Clearly not. Okay, I mean, should we talk? Should we talk about you? Should we talk about?
Yes,
should we talk about sex?
Yes, anything.
All right. Okay, so Frenchie, you said that your life began at 26. So I want to start there.
Yeah.
What happened when you were 26 that kickstarted this new life?
Oh my God! Like same thing, crazy story. So let me again. The universe likes to, you know, like play dodgeball with me for sure. So. Bad divorced. I was with a bad, really, really bad relationship. Really bad dude. It was time to go. As soon as I left him, ascension. So that was good to cut the chain because when you cut the chain, boom. Finally, you can bloom. I finally bloomed and I was working at a bank. And my trainee, the girl I trained, is the one that brought me to the swinger party in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Called the swinger zone. Yeah, swinger zone too. Mm-hmm. The pleasure zone parties, the PZ parties. And so I'm being brought to what I thought was a lingerie party. It was definitely not a lingerie party. But even I think if she would try to explain me swinger party, I would have not get it. I was vanilla. I was.
Right.
Yeah, I was not even ready for this. But once I had my peeking toe in it, it was the beginning of the American dream for sure. So I got picked up by this couple at that very party. And not knowing, they actually brought me home and paid me. I was not going to get paid. I was going for free.
Mm-hmm.
I was a good little slut. Okay.
So wait, did they give you money after you guys?
It was after.
They were just like, here's some money. Right. And you were just like,
no, it was an
why?
Envelope. It was an envelope. So right before the taxi arrives, Frenchie, the envelope. The thing is, okay, we took a lot of pictures that night.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, the envelope is the pictures that they just printed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this guy is the best husband ever.
Mm-hmm.
He printed the freaking picture for me. Mind you, we fucked all night. We did some hum-hums that night. Actually, we can talk about that night. That was cool. So when they brought me back, I mean, I was not really a big drinker, okay? And the tequila, I mean, Jesus Christ, I was so tipsy. And when we arrived at their house, we talked for a good moment. And they showed me their playroom. They had a full playroom. And it was this arch like this. Like, what is that? You know, like a cage or something. I'm like, they told me, you're going to see later. Now I was actually scared. I'm like, okay, are those weird type of couple that's going to keep me in a cave or something?
Yeah.
Because what is this arch? And I see the dildos and I see like this room is just like inspiring me, like something I never seen.
Yeah.
So after really getting comfortable with each other, we go to that room. He's like, now I'm going to show you. So he tied her up. He actually tied her up. So it was this cage, like this weird arch where he actually tied her up and he put strap on me with a little teeny insert.
Mm-hmm.
And he made me fuck his wife just like that, you know? I mean, that was the first time I even seen a strap on. And the thing, the strap on, you're not connected to the dick. So when you're fucking and the dick comes out, just kind of keep going.
Strap ons are not that easy to use. Like they take some practice. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So imagine my first time.
Yeah.
Oh, plus, it was a small insert. I'm pretty sure it was for a butt or something. So I remember looking at it. And clearly feeling what it felt for a man to look at a small dick.
Yeah.
It was just this little teeny thing, yeah. But no, they made me do some crazy stuff. But she was tied up. He cracked her penny and put it in her mouth and gagged her. And then we did all type of dirty stuff. But he left her like that and fucked me on the floor. And that I was like coming. It's just orgasm.
Uh-huh.
That was so kinky and so like just deviant.
Yeah.
But in a way that I'm like, it was new to me.
Uh-huh.
And I liked it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm weird, actually.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I didn't know I liked.
Right.
So this is why when I had my pinky toe, I'm like, wait, I had 3 orgasms out of this night and money. So again, when they paid me, I don't know. It was a picture. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even know it was money until way after.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours after. So yeah. No. It was not a money thing at first. Yeah.
Right. So what was your reaction when you opened the envelope and you saw money?
Mortified.
Were you embarrassed?
I super confused. Mortified is not the right word. I think confused, like confusion, confused, like really took over me. Like, mind you, we got intoxicated. did he give me the wrong envelope? Are they going to think I stole from them? So I called them like, hey, like I didn't steal from you guys. Like, and so I'm talking about the picture, like, hey, you guys, why there is, you know, money inside of the picture?
Yeah.
They confused. I'm confused, you know, so now they're even more confused. Finally, we getting everything right. Like, Frenchy, why aren't you working? No, not at all. I was not working that night. I was at a party. Simply, that changed the whole direction of absolutely everything.
So you were like, I can have sex, have a good time, and I can get paid for it. And it was like a revelation.
In one night, I made what I would make in 1 month. So it was ridiculous.
Can I ask you how much it was?
It was $2,500.
Wow.
Which at the bank, this is what you make with commission. I mean, maybe a little bit more at the bank. Come on, a little bit more at the bank. But
yeah.
Are you kidding me? I was in debt. So yeah. I could pay all my debt and go to BB and buy like a bunch of BB clothes. So that was quite awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where'd you go from there?
But I kept going, but not like that. I mean, that's funny when you tamed, really, you open the cage, you still stay in the cage. It's very crazy, you know, and you see it with animals too. They're so used to be in the cage. They actually have a hard time. Like, is this for real?
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like, is this for real? Mm-hmm. So I would go every last Saturday of each month only. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like something where it's like that one time in the month where I can like switch, you know, and slowly but surely I became Francesca. This is what created her, really her. Yeah.
So when you say you would go once a month, you would go to this lingerie party or you would go back to this couple?
The couple, I saw them a couple of times
after
that, but then they refer me to other ones. What was awesome is I'm a horrible hustler. Mm-hmm. So all I had to do is just not do nothing. You know, you're there with your lingerie, they approach you, they already kind of know who I am at this point.
Okay.
And it was just like effortless. I didn't know how to negotiate. They're like, we're going to take care of you, don't worry. Like, you become a complete sugar baby for the couple. I really, really loved the dynamic. It was really healthy, actually very healthy dynamic, completely.
So they helped you get set up and did they negotiate your rates? They were almost like your managers in a way?
No, not at all.
No?
No, they just told the other couple you should really, really...
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, no, not at all. No. It was nothing like that. It was just a referral, like...
Yeah.
French is fun because everybody talks in the swinger parties.
Right.
This couple is like that. Oh, yeah, just more like, oh, it couldn't get hard. Like, I mean, you should see like the amount of information. I mean, it's pretty fucked up, you know, like you better get your erection, you know, otherwise everybody's going to know that you didn't, you know, so.
It's kind of the same thing in porn, to be honest.
Same, exactly. Yeah. So exactly. But in porn, it's.
Yeah, you see it on video.
Over there is rumors, you know, so it's not really proven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Where I was going with this?
How you started. So then in terms of like your rate, were you just like, okay, well, I'm just going to charge the same amount that I got paid from these other people? Or
it was pretty much, give me whatever you think is fair. So it was always more than I thought. So it was, oh my God. Plus a lot of the swingers.
Donation based. Yeah, decide on like whatever you want your donation based to be.
Yeah, each other.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. That's how it started.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Now... You spent some time working in brothels.
Yes.
And you've been very open about your thoughts on that industry. What was your biggest issue with the Nevada brothels when you worked there?
Many. Oh my God, so many. I mean, it's a lot to talk about, you know. It's only they give us a legal platform where a lot of illegal stuff are going on, you know. So that's like defeating the purpose of giving us a legal platform if a lot of shit is going to happen like this and nobody checks. I mean, nobody checks. Mm-hmm. Not one person ever checked. Actually, Homeland Security. Homeland Security on 1st of April. So I even thought during the lineup and they put the badge, it was three of them badges and everything. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an actual April Fool. So that's the first thing I said in the lineup. That's an April Fool. No. And plus I had an accent. First one interrogated. Boom. For me. Yeah.
Wait, they came into the brothel? Mm-hmm.
And they came. Yeah. And there was an African girl. So her name was Tanya. No, Kenya. Kenya from Kenya. Excuse me. Kenya, Russia from Russia, Frenchy from France. So they were like, it was literally a joke for the Homeland Security. They checked on me first and I just explained them, listen, I do have an accent. I was born here. You know, I'm as American as an American. You know, it's just that my accent is a little thick. That's it. So they let me go. But then every single person they interrogated.
So what was the reason for coming into the brothel?
Making sure that we were legally. Working.
Oh, you were working so legally with a working visa and stuff like that? And you, because I know that in Nevada, you have to have a special license.
Oh my God, big time.
Yeah.
Just on a weekly like a police basis. License,
right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. You go to the sheriff to get it.
Gotcha.
On a weekly basis, if you don't pass the medical, You cannot stay in the brothel. You have to pass the STD every single week, which is crazy when the girls bring STD. They have to pack up and go. And they say, yeah, well, I have an emergency. We know you just didn't pass your STD test.
Right.
Because they do bear. They do bear stuff. Yeah.
Right. And they're not supposed to.
Not at all. Okay. Even the BJ is supposed to be covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hired when I went to Amsterdam right out of high school, when my graduation present was going to Europe, and my boyfriend and I hired a sex worker in Amsterdam. And I remember she put a condom on my boyfriend before she blew him. And I remember I'd never seen that before. I was like, whoa. Yes. Part of me was like, ew, that's so gross. And then the other part of me was like, wow, she's really responsible.
Yeah, I think it's viral.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you're going to have secret shopper actually checking on that, which is crazy. Imagine, like, that's the best job in the fucking world for a man. You're going to be a secret shopper and check if the girls are going to, follow the law. I don't think they go all the way to the BJ, but they're going to see if you actually go for it, the bros will get fined. Or the girl. I'm not even sure what is the repercussion, to be honest, actually. I don't do that, so I don't know.
So, okay, so you have because you have this at, people posing as, or minors pretending to be older, and then they go and, like, try to buy cigarettes. And if you buy at supermarkets, and if you sell them cigarettes without the ID, same thing. So they go in without, and then they try to get the woman that they hire to do illegal things such as no condoms, right? What else would they be looking for?
That's it, really. Or if you try to take the clientele out of the house. So that would be Dennis's. So that would be a different type of secret shopper. Dennis would send secret shopper to check if we would be willing to take the clients out of the house, cutting the commission with the...
Oh, and like, okay.
So
but that's his own... Uh-huh, that was his that's own not way. The government.
No, but right. That was his own way to, make sure that we're not doing that. The government would check for just if we use condoms, of course.
Right.
I think that's what they would check. If we're legal to work there, obviously, and if we use condom, and that's really all is required. Nothing is really required. It's very minimal what we are being asked, you know? A lot of girls that had herpes, they could work there, you know? Yeah, like you can work with herpes there.
This well, the problem with herpes is that it's not curable, so...
And you had staff infection, and the girls with staff infection, they had that's, to be... That's, like, that was ridiculous there. Yeah. At Cherries, I had a bed bug, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like, I mean, really bad, like in a line like this, So it's not sanitary at all.
No,
not like that. It was a lot going on. But going back to the Bunny Ranch, which I didn't stay long enough, I went to the Love Ranch, which is a mile away. It was way more tranquil there because Dennis would not go. I didn't like Dennis. It was too much with him.
Right. And we're talking about Dennis Hoff, by the way, for people who didn't catch on because we didn't say his full name. So.
He was clearly a sex addict, and he was getting his dose on a daily, several times a day.
Yeah.
And he would pick and choose, and it was this whole dynamic that he did, and he got me mental. I don't know why I stayed so long, because maybe I rotated. It wasn't all the time there. Mm-hmm. I rotated 2 weeks at a time, 2 weeks out, 2 weeks in, sometimes a month off. I couldn't do it towards the end. I was just seeing too much. Everything that was going on there was just not okay.
Yeah.
I had to go.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Frenchie venturing off on her own. And I believe she's fully independent now. And all the questions that you ever wanted to know about an escort and the lifestyle. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Hey, guys.
This episode is made possible by PwC. It's getting hot out here. Moving the mercury can help move your business. PwC helps turn sustainability theory into real-world action. Reduce your carbon footprint while increasing transparency in net zero commitments. Start with reporting to identify your climate risks and reinvent your business. Create a more sustainable business and a stronger planet. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY. We are back. We had to take a quick fan break. It's getting very, very hot in here. So, Frenchie, so you were working in brothels, and I assume now you're fully independent, right? You no longer work in brothels. How did you make that transition?
A little bit by little bit, just the logic of mm-hmm. it. It was way less toxic of an environment because it's not just Dennis that was creating a toxic environment. It was also the other girls, you mm-hmm. know, like the caddy, they test you, they put bleach in your shampoo, they slash your tire. I mean, it was intense. It was super hostile, wow. very hostile, you know, and it could like be very like hood, ghetto, you know? So
yeah.
One little energy, one little human there could completely switch the whole dynamic of the house. You could have a really good dynamic. One arrives, drama. Mm-hmm. Horrible. Yeah. So it just made sense. Mm-hmm. you know?
So how do you get, so do you have like regular clients that you work with pretty frequently?
Yes, I have like the whole world is my playground. So I started working internationally, you know, traveling around. So my big one was Japan. I loved Japan because mm-hmm. they have a whole culture there that I really enjoy. That's why I have my geisha and I actually met one, a real one there. And we made friends. I stayed in Tokyo, in Shinjuku. And I would be working at the Ginza in the hostess bar. Mm-hmm. And it's you don't have much to do. Mm-hmm. They pay you. You have to just make them drink. So you have little drinking games that you do. I was coming up always with little ideas. But I'm a gymnast. So I would do handstands. I mean, the Japanese, they entertain with nothing. Like nothing. You know, like mm-hmm. your little thing. Like do a little magic for Japanese and you see they literally faint. You know, so... I would do a little handstand, $100 at a time. I had sometimes because I was so like lively in that mm-hmm. hostess bar that everybody wanted to book me. So the guys had to literally wait for an hour, another hour, mm-hmm. to get me. And I would get so many $100 just with handstand and doing little silly stuff, mm-hmm. you know.
So you mentioned a hostess bar. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What is that?
Yeah, so it's pretty much how you. Just like they have the kiddie bar, then same thing. You go see the cats, so you pay the entrance fee, and then you have like upgrades if you want to pet them and just mm-hmm. same thing. So you arrive and you pay a flat fee, mm-hmm. okay, to the house. We get 70% of that. The house is getting 30%, and then all the drinks, it's all for us. Every single drink is we pocket the drinks. But we have what we call the dohan, and this is what we really try to do, the dohan. So it's the out call. Okay, you're going to do an out date pretty much with him. And it's awesome. So the dohan, they give you numbers in the hostess bar. They tell you that you need to have 2 dohans a week. But I had 7. I mean, I had like 1 a day. Mm-hmm. It was easy to have a dohan. So once you have a dohan, they pay a higher fee to the house to mm-hmm. get you out of the house. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's why they don't want you to cut the house. And the mama-san, it's very strict. You can tell it's very Japanese, very rude, mm-hmm. you know? So... she would literally call the client a couple of times to see where we are, everything calling me, I have to report. I mean, it's very square there. So when you go on a dohan, it's cool. It's $2,000. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to have an intimate time with you, mm-hmm. I mean, I was paid all the way to $30,000. So the thing is, I made so much money in Japan. I had to leave my money. I couldn't fly back with
right them. You can't fly back with more than $10,000.
Okay, so I had literally sent by the universe this super awesome dude. They have a base, a military base. I go to festival. I went to this festival in Tokyo and boom, I meet him. He's American and he's on the base and we made friend. I'm like, okay, do you trust him enough to leave him all that cash? Well, yeah. So I had to go back to Japan again and again to fly back little bit by little bit.
But wait, every time you go to Japan, are you working? So are you making more money? So you're adding more money to that pile?
Yeah, well, of course.
So then you're never going to get the money back,
no,
right?
No, excuse me. No. When I go back to Japan uh-huh. to get the money back, uh-huh. no, it was not to work, to add on to the pile.
Okay, so you're not...
You were telling me about the already pile. No, okay.
Okay, so you're not... When you go back to Japan, you don't
work... No, it was
work.
To actually... Go back with right. it. No. So when I went to Japan, it was usually on my way to Thailand. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't work in Thailand because, you know, obviously it's a little bit. Actually, no, I'm lying. I had a few clients there. But on my way to Thailand, I would always make sure that I was, you know, on my way back to Thailand. Mm-hmm. Go to Tokyo, get the cash back mm-hmm. on my way back. So mm-hmm. no, I didn't add up to the pile because gotcha. I didn't keep working. The problem with the mama-san is you have to commit. Like you have to commit for like, I think it was like a month minimum. I stayed like 12 days or something and then I left, you mm-hmm. know? So then you have to find another hostess bar because the mama-san, you betrayed her. because the commitment, you broke the commitment.
Yeah. So they, do they ultimately want you to stay the entire time, like more than a month, like forever?
No, the month is your commitment. And the
month is your commitment.
They are pretty butthurt when you break it. So you can literally.
So you contract for a month, but if after a month you're like, you know what, I'm done. But then if you decide to leave after a month, they're a little bit offended.
Yes, and they may go to another bar.
And they may not take you back.
Ever.
Right.
It's a pride thing, the pride there.
Yeah.
They pride and they square. There is this whole culture that I still try to figure out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go enough. I worked 2 times. So I went on 2 trips to work. And this is when it went out of freaking control. Because my first trip, I was trying to figure it out. My second trip, I already knew what I was doing.
Right.
You know, so it's my second trip where I banged a lot. Okay, a lot. I remember it was ridiculous. There's this guy. He was so sweet. He brought me to the mall. We went to the restaurant. He brought me a lot of stuff. I went to this hotel. It's like a, I guess like an hour hotel, but it's really nice. Like it was like this round bed and you get the room by the hour. Mm-hmm. I bet he stayed like 15 minutes. He gave me 10 grand right there. That was a problem to fly back with. I couldn't fly back with it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand from other like in-person sex workers that I've spoken to, the actual sexual encounter itself is a very small amount of the time that you spend with the person. Most of it is like conversation and like, you know, these people just want someone to, I mean, obviously they want somebody to be intimate with, but they also just want someone to spend time with.
It's part of the equation.
Yeah.
The sex, I feel in a way it's the easiest part.
Yeah.
Like reassuring the guy that is, you know, completely panicked, you know, to the point that he doesn't have a boner. That takes work. Like that, like that's the not the easy part right there. So there is like a lot of things that are a little bit more harder than just having sex.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, entertaining a weirdo, like you suddenly, like you're not on the same page. I had some guys literally telling me who he was voting for example. And I was just like, okay, that's going to be a little bit difficult. Let's not talk about politics or religion, okay?
Yeah.
I usually try to really avoid those subjects with them. So I don't really, literally want to kick them out.
Right.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I'm short fuse for stupidity.
Yeah. So now who, like how many, do you have like regular clients that you see most of the time? Or are you still very much like meeting new people all the time?
So, but same thing, like I have my base of regular. And when I tour, I always have, you know, the new faces. So I have the old faces that book me and the new faces. So the network just keep on growing. You, even if somebody really doesn't really book you again, you just...
Right.
It's endless. I mean, sky is the limit. It's impossible to not have a job in this industry.
Yeah.
It's zero chance.
So how do you screen for clients? Or actually, wait. So how do they find you?
But you have to advertise on different platforms.
Okay.
You know, so there is platform available for you. Like plenty. Oh my God. Like 12, 13, 14. Maybe even. Mm-hmm. Same thing. The platform has, they have levels. Mm-hmm. So you have like the low level where it's like a lead crawler. Those lead crawler, but they suck. I mean, you're going to have like, the scammers, everything and anything. A lot of girls trafficked underage. I mean, you don't have a lot of bullshit. Kind of like Backpage. Remember the Backpage scandal? Yeah. Okay, well, you have a lot of like little mushroom site like that. You know what I mean? They make us verify our age and everything, but you have a lot of underage girls. It's very easy to just have your girlfriend, you know, show the ID, show the paper, and then it's really your account. So they don't really, like, I mean, it's so much that they're doing to really verify it's you. And the I see rings, literally, like, Russian rings, Korean, huge, huge rings of Korean. They call it the K-girls. Yeah, a huge ring of Korean. It's, like, mind-blowing. So Russian, Korean, for sure. Definitely the Thailandese, the Vietnamese in the parlors, the massage. That's how they find people. So you have different sites for different things. Then you have like the nice website like Eros. For example, Eros, you're going to pay your advertisement a lot of money. Like I think like up to $1,000 a month to be on Eros. Because you have different type of advertisement. You can be the golden girl, the silver girl, you know, the girl of the day. So you pay for all that. So on Eros, you literally score huge VIP clients. And then I have a few more platforms that I'm not going to reveal because people don't.
Right. Understood.
Deserve.
Yes.
Yes. They're very good platform. Yeah, where you can score really big VIPs for sure.
Okay.
Huge clients and amazing real human too.
Yeah.
You know, not just big money, like cool fucking gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That respect us.
Yeah. So what are your clients generally like? Like what is the average guy that you see, what is he usually like?
So usually it's the disposable income gentleman, you know, mm-hmm. so usually, you know, clean cuts. I'm not going to have a guy with rotten teeth or, you know, I'm not going to have somebody completely, because people ask me, what is it, the ugly or what they old, what is the fat? I'm like, I mean, I get the ugly and the fat, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I get the old every once in a while, but it's not just that, it's a mix. It's everything. I literally have like kids, like 21, 22. I'm like, baby boy. Yeah. No, like at this point, like I'm going to feel like you're my son, you know, but yeah. I have, you know, I have every age. I try not to take them too old because you feel like a disconnect. There is, and even like visually and in the, even in the, it just doesn't go together anymore. Mm-hmm. Like it shocks me. One in particular, he borderline looked like my grandpa and it was like extremely difficult. Couldn't even do eye contact. He actually reviewed me. He left me such a fucking bad review. And like, bro, like you look like my grandpa. I couldn't look at him. I was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's at this time where you don't know how to tell him, like, listen, let's just not go through the session.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to do that?
Oh, no, I'm super good at it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I give them the money back.
Go now. Yeah.
I don't feel you. I don't like you. You are at my place and you are making me feel uncomfortable. I do not go to your house to make you feel uncomfortable, so I dare you.
Yeah.
That's how I deal with it. I usually reverse it. What are you doing to me right now? What if I do it to you? And usually like they have little, you know, switch in their head, like, well, actually, yeah, I am being fucked up right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't have time to waste.
Right.
No.
So how do you screen your clients?
The screening. So the screening is important. Back in the day, we didn't have much. And so it was a lot of the intuition. Mm-hmm. A lot of the intuition. You had the bad boy report or Google. But now you have, I don't even know if I should, should I even say it? Because now the guys are going to know. And shoot. Yeah. I should though. Don't, ladies, Mr. Number. Get the Mr. Number app. You should actually, yeah. So Mr. Number is amazing. At this point, you can store so much data mm-hmm. about the client. So you check Mr. Number and you'll be surprised what you find on there.
Okay, it's so scary. It's a way for women to communicate with each other who have worked Watch with out. That client. Yeah, I mean, that's what Backpage used to serve for so many sex workers. And that was one of the big complaints about Sesta Fosta and how it took away from sex workers. And they were saying, you know, our work is so much more dangerous now because we can't, you know, warn other girls about potentially dangerous clients. Like it took that ability to share that information away.
Well, now we can. Yeah. So Mr. Number, yeah, usually, I mean, if you have a report to make, it's usually the app. 80% of the providers are using this app. So at mm-hmm. this point, this app is full of information. Mm-hmm. Full of information. Sometimes be careful, though. It can be very misleading. Mm. For example, I was about to leave a very good review for a client, like Safe to See, great gentleman. He offered me flowers. He's a really amazing client. I saw him multiple times. Well, I go and I see two reports. Watch out, he busted my nose. Watch out, he raped me.
Wow.
Trying to cock block him or not sure.
Yeah.
Why she would like, so then the app get abused because now this man looks like he's an abuser when really he's like the sweetheart. So now what I do, I still use the app, but I let them know, like, listen, I am not really comfortable right now to see you. I need a deposit from you. Mm-hmm. I need to FaceTime. So the FaceTime is awesome because I can really feel you. I can see your demeanor. Mm-hmm. I can see your body language. There is something about the energy of somebody, even behind the screen, you can feel like there is just something off or something flowy.
Yeah.
Like we're flowing right now. Okay. If it's flowing right now, we're going to flow during the session. Right. So I FaceTime. Personally, I like the verification like that. So there is different little things that I do to make sure I'm safe. And so far, I mean, I had like really like I can count them on my hand, like 5 situations and 1 really dangerous. 1 really extremely that was like borderline, like a close one, a really close one. And then just situation. I'm not going to say problem, but situation, yeah. Mm-hmm. I handled it.
Can you tell us about any of those situations?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's... I talked about it in the other interview. That's why. But the gentleman came with a herbal tea. So he comes at you as older gentleman, mind you. That's why I cut corners. I'm like, okay, you know what? Very a con. Because if you can fool me all the way to my room, you're pretty very good. Mm-hmm. You're pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the age was, you know, pushing 60. Mm-hmm. Everything added up. He arrived and nothing added up. As soon as you arrived, just nothing added up. It was just something about his energy. The age and the attitude did not match. Mm-hmm. So why aren't you having an attitude of a gentleman? Because I'm so used to men, a certain, you know, energy. And this one was off. So I know something is bad. And when he was in the toilet, I checked the app, which I should have done. Four reports. Watch out, ladies. He robbed me. Wish he cut me. But this time it's a real one. It's not like a, oh no.
Yeah.
Four, because what I look is the different dates. There is some girls, they would bombard the same day. Trying, right. But that's clearly over the time, over the
course. Yeah, and if it's from a lot of different women.
I am so panicked at this point. I am shit scared. The thing is, I take my phone. He sees it on video. So I think at this point, he was scared. He didn't know what was about to happen to him. I think he must have wondered if people were about to jump him or get arrested. You should see his demeanor because I have his 5-minute video. His voice completely switched. I never had such a horrible, like a bad date with someone. Like it was like extremely bad. Yeah, extremely bad. He was trying to hurt me, but like physically with his dick, you know, I had to like really clearly stop him. Mm-hmm. He was about to... I don't know, break my cervix or something. I don't know what the fuck he was trying to do.
So
no idea.
When you tried to push him off the music key.
No, I literally like he was ramming me. Like he was like, bam and bam and bam. Like he was like, and his face, take this. So it was like me, like literally like what the fuck? So when he was ramming me, I just literally grabbed his stick like this and showed him like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm 95 pounds. Are you trying to break me or something? So we finished, thank you God. He was like extremely fast. He must have been so excited with this little scenario in his head. He's patiently waiting for you to fall asleep. He's patiently waiting for you to fall asleep and to do fucked up shit because let's go step by step. So I'm feeling this guy is just like, he's dangerous. Okay, mm-hmm. The way he talks, his attitude. We on the hour mark. I have a couple of hours with him. I'm like, I'm not saying 1 more hour. Mm-hmm. There is no fucking way. He's in the toilet. I check the app. I find out that he's dangerous. Perfect. Get the fuck out. So when I kicked him out, then I was really, really shook up. Like, it was crazy. And I put him on the forum. Ladies, I have him at one point on the video. I screenshot. He looks so guilty, this motherfucker. Exactly like the face you need to fucking see here. Boom. Mm-hmm. I had 15 messages from different girls. Like, you should see, you should see. I can show you the threads. It's insane what he does. Once you fall asleep, one, you thought she started her period. After a date with him. No, you got fucked so crazy that you bled. That's what happened to you. He's a real crazy man. Once you drink that tea, you fucked.
So he drugs girls.
Absolutely.
And then he rapes them.
And then he robs. He takes everything. Not just his money, everything that you have.
So everything. He robs you.
Yeah.
And he rapes you or?
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when he arrived, it was this whole dynamic because like.
But you never drank the tea.
Never. I had it in my hand at one point. I had it in my hand. I had it in my hand. Yeah. I imagine.
Why do you think you didn't drink it? No. You just didn't?
I even texted him before he arrived. I asked him to bring vodka. He said he couldn't bring the vodka. And I'm like, it's okay. I told him, it's okay. The universe doesn't want me to drink. And when I went back to that mess, I'm like.
Crazy. Wow. That's really scary.
It's like, I already knew.
Yeah.
Like, it was signs. Like, don't drink. Don't drink. Just don't drink. When he arrived, he left the money. Okay, he leaves the money, but I remember just this body language is just so off. Like usually the clients give it to me, you know. Mm-hmm. Not like I'm gonna put my wallet on it. And he had this just this way. So at one point when I did get to the money finally, and you know, he's right behind me looking at where I'm putting it. So okay, I'm like
okay, yeah.
But because I don't know yet, there is this battle inside of me, mm-hmm. you know. And so, I was right. This is when I know my intuition is for real. Like, woman intuition is for real.
Yeah. Well, and especially in your case, you have to be really careful.
I have an amazing intuition.
Yeah.
I know within a few seconds.
Have you always had the intuition or do you think this job built you?
I always did, though. I did. But now, like, he made the intuition, like, he really amplified it because the amount of people I deal with.
Right.
Because it's not just the booking, like, the one-on-one with the client. Is on the phone, like them approaching you. So that alone it touched me so much. You mm-hmm. know, just the are you available? The guys that just start texting you, you're never going to meet them, but that touched me so much about weirdo. Okay, this is the guy that is serious. That's a fantasy booker. That's a waste of time. That's a no-show. That's an address collector. We have all that address collector, picture collector, fantasy booker. We have all these names. Yeah. And it's part of the job. You have no choice.
So so an address collector just wants your address, yeah. But he's not going to show up that day.
No
but
show, no
what's
call.
He going to do with that address?
Exactly. That's scary as fuck. That's why I always give cross street or different thing or deposit. As soon as you give me the deposit, you have my address.
No so problem. You do see people at your home?
Yeah.
You don't see people in hotels ever? Or does it just depend on...
When I tour. Okay. Or I go on out call to their place or their suite. Or mm-hmm. Usually I usually tell them, if your place is not as cool as mine, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. You come to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, but yeah, if it's a nice little mansion or something, yeah, let's go.
You know? Yeah. Do you have things at home to protect you if something goes down?
No. I have my brain.
Okay.
I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like by the time, even if I reach to pepper spray or a knife, it can be returned against me. Yeah. Now I'm having weapon that can be actually used against me. Yeah. If the guy really... First, he takes balls, okay? I look at odds, all right? You have to, anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
You have to anticipate your crime. You know, you have to, you know, have the balls to do your crime. You have to come all the way to me. You have to leave a deposit. You're going to pay to kill me, really? You're going to pay to harm me? Like, my ways now. Don't worry. I got this.
Yeah.
But this is what I can tell the girls. Deposit, deposit, deposit. I mean, no deposit, no date. And since 80% of the gentlemen are okay with the deposit, the 20% can go to bed. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me deal with the 80% that have no problem. And you, since you have a problem, well, go have a problem somewhere else. Thank you. You know? Yeah. But yeah, no?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I'm too French.
So now we talked a little bit about porn before. You said that you did a softcore thing, but you've never considered doing actual porn, right?
No, I would have not be a good candidate. I don't think so.
Yeah? Why is that?
Because I'm already awkward in front of a camera. I look very awkward. It's not, you know, it's not something I'm really natural at. Like, I don't like posing. More power to the model. I think it's actually a crazy difficult job because it's so simple that it's difficult. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I don't know. I'm just not good at just staying there static. You know, I'm very animated, as you can see. So it's super hard for me it's almost an effort. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you have to open up the camera. You have to be aware of the camera because it's not about the experience itself. It's about creating a fantasy for the viewers. So yeah, it's a very different.
So even right now, pointing at me right now, like something pointing at me is versus a one-on-one, you know, like, because it's intimate, the sex. So right now having something while I have sex, being close up, and I would be disturbed. You would see it on my face, and I would not be doing a good scene.
Yeah.
Since I would feel awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can see when I'm awkward. You know, when I feel awkward on my face. So I would not be like a pretty porn star to look at. So I don't think it was a route for me to take. But one on one, oh yeah, I am a porn star. Oh my god, I do all kind of hands. You know? Yeah. So,
what do you think that you bring to the table that, like, has brought you such a big clientele? Like, what do men love the most about spending time with you?
Oh, because in a way, they like the therapy side. I'm kind of a practitioner. I can call myself a lot of names. I like the sex artist, even though I get challenged on that. Come on. If you express your skills in, you know, a creative way, you're an artist. Mm-hmm. Period. So this is what I bring. Just the way I make my dates is very unique. The guys are usually telling me it was pretty spectacular, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's an erotic show. You book my show and I am going to blow your mind. And it's custom to every single one. So it's never the same show.
Mm.
That makes sense. And it's fun for me too.
So you say that you do an erotic show. I really like that term. What does that mean? Can you give me maybe an example of one?
Yes, it's all like, you know, like from the music, and I would use their dick as a microphone, and I start singing for them with eye contact, and like I'm a complete like sex clown in a way, and then all kind of stuff. I have a lira, so I would, you know, go upside down, put their dick in my mouth, and just like really like
turn.
Oh
wow, really?
Like, yes, it's all kind of stuff like that. I'm a gymnast, so I would, you know, kind of show off. I have a pole, so I would do, you know, all kind of acrobatics. So it goes crescendo with my date. They're like, just like mind blown by the end. You
That's
know what
great.
I mean?
That's really impressive.
I do lots of things. Yeah. I have a VR experience. So you pretty much, there is some guys that don't want the full service, you know, at all. Like they just want, you know, the intimacy, sensual rub, you know, or like just like somebody to talk to, really.
Yeah.
You know? So those ones, I came up with the idea. Listen.
That makes sense then. Why would you want to entertain clients at your house? Because you have all of those tools there to use to put on this like show.
But
that's super cool. I've never heard of anybody doing anything like that.
But yeah, because I try to, you know, go with the time and innovate and you know, like be a little bit in the new school, because old school is cool, but new school is better, you know. So I put the VR. I have about 25 they can choose from. And then, so it's interactive because now they, it's almost like a 4D experience because they're submerged in there. They with the porn star at this point. So what they see, I see. So I pretty much, you know, simultaneously, I hate this word. Simultaneously.
You did it. Good job. Wow. That's really cool. I mean, you kind of like do like a Cirque du Soleil, experience.
That's what it was called.
I kind of like want to see this. This sounds really cool.
A lot of people want to see this.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I'm so, you don't like ever want to do, I mean, you know, you don't be a porn, you don't like have like a OnlyFans or something where some people want to be.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I'm torn because I'm so private. So then going public like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then, I don't know. And the time consuming also, it's very time consuming. They're very demanding.
Yeah.
You know, the subscriber, they really want more. I can see on my Instagram, they don't even pay. They want more. It's free.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine when it's, you know, when you make them pay. I'm thinking about it. I'm really tempted, but I want to do kind of maybe a story time one, you know, where it's not like sex or maybe sometime, but you pay more. I don't know. We see. I don't know. But my clients, we can have a recording session so they can record. They have to be in full frame at all time because I don't want to be on new porn. Like I don't want them to use the content suddenly. So they have to be in at whole time in the frame. There is no POV.
Gotcha.
No
close-up, that, like that makes sense because if they can cut their own face out, then they can sell it without the repercussions of putting themselves out there, but they put you out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that makes sense. That's crazy.
So I'm a personal porn star. I'm like your personal little.
No, that makes sense to me. I mean, I had Cinnamon Love on and she does a lot of in-person sex work and she was saying that she definitely prefers that to doing, you know, like content platforms like OnlyFans or something like that. She's like, I really shine in that one-on-one intimate experience with somebody. Like that's where I'm at. And she's like, and it's true, the upkeep of like an OnlyFans account's a lot of work. You know, you have people you gotta talk to, you gotta sell them stuff, you gotta record it, you gotta edit it, you gotta publish it, you gotta get paperwork on other people if you're working with them. So it makes sense to me that you know,
it's faster.
Yeah.
It's just faster, less headache for sure. And then I personally do enjoy the company of I'm the companion, but I enjoy the company as well. I have to, otherwise, you know, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
It does take two to tango.
Yeah.
So,
the last thing I want to talk about is you did the Soft Way Underbelly video, which is how we found you. And I know that he gets a lot of views on his videos. So what was that experience like? What was the response to the video like? And did it change your life in any way?
For sure. So, okay. So first step, I am the one who contacted him. Of course, as an escort, I'm going to look into escort stories and I found his channel. And it was some story that really marked me. You know, like they were really sad, extra sad. It was a successful story where the girl really gets out of the street. She gets her job. And so I was looking for more happy story, but it was none. It was a lot of, you know, highlighting maybe the dark side of the business, you know? I'm like, wait. In life, we have the dark, but we also have the light. So they need to hear a happy story. If there is really, really a happy story that needs to be told on this channel so people can actually inspire themselves, like, look, girls, you can do it better. You can do exactly like me, but better, with more class. The street is the bottom anyway, you know? So level up, you know, at least get a hotel, get yourself a computer, go on the internet, you know? Plus, the internet is cleaning kind of the street in a way, you know, when you don't have to actually hustle in the street. It's Skid Row, come on now. They call it The Blade. Would you imagine going to work to something that is called The Blade? Well, but not me. Okay?
That's what they call working on Skid Row?
They call it on The Blade. It's crazy. It's a very intense word. It's a very violent word.
Yeah.
I go to a suite, not to The Blade. Okay. Yeah, like, you know, so I'm like, okay, if... Because I've been talking and inspiring all my life, but not on like a big scale. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's time. You know, if this channel needs to be inspired by me, it's on there, you know. So I went on there, inspired first not to take drugs because drugs is going to fuck you up, you know. So this is what really made me successful in a way, and where I have my head on my shoulder is not to take drugs. I'm not perfect, you know. I like to drink, I like my weed, you know. I will experiment here and there, But the cocaine, everything that ketamine, everything that is addicting, meth, mm-hmm. definitely not crack, everything that you can truly do something crazy mm-hmm. in order to have, I kept myself really away from. Because at the brothel, at the Burning Man, go back to the Burning Man, it was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And you should see the girls when they don't have it, the withdrawal, everything. So they show me what I don't want to be. Now, let's go back. So we were, soft toilet on the belly. So I'm going, girls, don't take drugs. It's not going to serve you. But then the video takes off, but it's not at all for the views that he did this video. It was not even close to for the views. It was not to be viral. It was not to be famous. It was nothing like that. It was like, some people need to be saved. They need to hear, like, do this better. Get the fuck out of the blade. Get the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, catch the lemons, opportunities, and hop on the train that says paradise. That's what I wanted to inspire. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else went really after it was secondary. It was not planned at all. It just kind of came as a bomb. Organic bomb.
Yeah. Did you get any people that reached out to you that said that they saw the interview and that helped them
like
elevate?
Thousands at this point. Like really? Thousands. At this point, it's thousands. I don't know how to keep up with the DMs, with the emails. They're finding me from left to right. I mean, it's almost scary. I had to adjust to it for a minute.
Yeah.
Like when it first happened, like I'm like, ooh, wait. Because I have clients doing that. I have bomb of clients. Are you available? Are you available? And then now I have that. Like, phew. So I'm like, ooh, how am I going to juggle between the two right now?
Yeah.
So I kind of like, almost like put it on the download. I would not even click read the comments. I was not involved. Like I was focused, you know, on my clients, doing whatever I did before. Mm-hmm. I didn't let that interview really change my dynamic. Mm-hmm. And now it is slowly but surely. And I'm trying to like, okay, go back to your dynamic because this is what you like. Mm-hmm. You know, I love interviews because people can use the information. Mm-hmm. That's why I do interviews. Use the information. Mm-hmm. I took one for the team for you. You know, that's what I'm here for. The views, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you know, inspired quite a few people.
Jesus Christ. From different countries, literally. And like greeting from Senegal, greeting from, you know, Nicaragua, and greeting from Bangladesh.
Maybe you should do like a web series on like how to be a successful escort.
Eventually, I'm thinking
about... Do a workshop.
Eventually, I really am thinking about it. Again, I am getting close to retirement, you know, really. Like it's I smell it. It's there. Mm-hmm. I did great. I did good for myself. Financially, I'm set. I'm good. I'm good to go. So now it's the next chapter, you know? And once Francesca, I can leave her aside and not make her alive all the time. You know, I have to do my hair for her. I have to do my nails for her. Mm-hmm. Like Francesca takes a lot of my time. Like people, are you available, Francesca? Not me, me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which I have a great social life. Don't get me wrong. Like I know how to juggle, but I had to really know how to separate the two. It was such a mindfuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, you create a persona and everybody wants that persona.
Right.
And you don't exist no more.
Yeah.
Almost like a double personality in a way.
Yeah.
So I had to switch, know how to switch Francesca on and off. If I can completely switch her off, I have so much time for me. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like it's so time consuming to be Francesca.
Especially these people are spending a lot of money to spend time with this character that you've developed. And so you have to be on, you can't really be yourself.
But yeah, in a way, I really have to switch into this extra actress and role play and everything if they really are the type of
like an up on like an aerial ring. And like, I mean, that's a lot of work.
I love it though. It entertains me, keeps me in shape, you know.
Yeah.
It does keep me in shape. You know, they ask me like what is your routine? I'm like,
work.
I don't know, orgasms, you know, like I don't
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming, Frenchie. This was really cool.
It was a pleasure. I love you for being, you know, an adult with me, approaching the subject with class and not, you know, thank you for being you. You're like, to me, you're an icon.
Oh, thank
I really
you.
Wanted to highlight that. Honor to be here, honestly, big, big time. It was like super exciting for me to be here.
Oh my God.
I look forward to it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I kept it like a secret on my Instagram for me. I'm like, I'm not going to tell them. Yeah, they don't deserve it. Dribble.
I'm so happy that you were happy to be here. And once again, I'm so sorry about the broken air conditioning.
No, it's cool. I got my, almost my sauna, my free sauna.
Yeah.
I got the toxins out. I just need a shower now. And take care of my little broken puppy in the car, making sure he's okay.
Yeah. I hope that works out.
Little thing. Yeah. So
you seem to have a really good heart. There's not a lot of people like that out there. No, so keep doing what you do.
Why are you on earth to have, you know, no heart, actually? Like, it's your journey.
Yeah.
Well, have heart. It's a journey that is long, so you might as well practice on that. Give a bottle of water to somebody that is thirsty. Come on now.
Yeah.
Money, no. They keep asking me, like, do you want to do a GoFundMe account? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is the last thing he needs. He needs love. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs little cards and written. He needs a hug. He needs that.
He needs somebody to believe in him.
Yeah.
Which he probably hasn't had amazing. In a long time.
He's the shit, this little kid. Every time he talks, I learn more from him. I'm like, oh my, I'm so charmed. And that's funny because in a very strange way, in another life, different situation, he would have been a good match. That's the worst about that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
A good match. He opens the door and he sings. Mm. He sings for me. How? Yeah. My life is full of that.
Yeah. You are definitely living life to the fullest. That is for sure. And you seem to be somebody that's always got a story to tell. So can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Yes. Pocket sized Frenchie. Easy. Pocket like the pocket sized Frenchie. Little me.
And that's your Instagram, right?
That's my Instagram. And that's it. That's all I have.
That's all you have?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Right now it's enough. I don't want to overwhelm myself with Twitter. And I just get the platform all the time anyway. So
I
get the platform. So I literally have a group of haters dedicated for that, just for that. It's crazy. But in a way, if they wouldn't, I'd be surprised. I'd be like, where are they at? You know, like, I have no hater.
Yeah.
Huh?
They say that you know you've made it when you have haters, right?
Tons. Shit. Stop.
Well, thank you again for coming on. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. And as of the time of this interview, I know I say this every time, but I'm still on TikTok. Who knows if I will be tomorrow or any other day, but Holly Randall Unfiltered. Right now, you can find lots of like little short clips from my podcast interviews on there. And then, of course, if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you can watch us sweat our balls off live in an air-conditioned studio weeks and weeks before the episode actually comes out on the free platforms. Thank you guys so much for watching. Frenchie, thank you again.
You're the best. Thank you.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU and you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can.